Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are dealing in James chapter 1 with three important rules for developing good personal relationships. They're found in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and we are examining them thoughtfully one by one. The three rules are, number one, be a good listener, number two, become a thoughtful speaker, and number three, learn to control your temper. All of these found in James 1, 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There are the three rules. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Can you remember that? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now I look at my calendar and I realize that today is February 14, Valentine's Day. And that causes me to mention that the most important personal relationship that most of us have is the one that we have with our spouse. Or in the case of some of you, with your boyfriend or girlfriend, fiancé, your proposed spouse, the person that you are planning to marry. And these rules are even more important for that relationship than for other ones. These rules apply to every relationship, but more marriage relationships have been ruined by violation of one or more of these rules than anything I know. Do you want to have a good marriage? Then learn these three rules. Number one, be a good listener. Number two, become a thoughtful speaker. And number three, learn to control your temper. That will go a long ways towards producing a good marriage. So we better look at these carefully, and we will do that as I welcome you to this Tuesday, February 14 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you, those of you who help us financially maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Okay, number one, swift to hear. That is, be a careful listener. Develop an attentive attitude. And on the broadcast yesterday, we started dealing with some of the things that make this difficult, and one of them is just simply time. We live busy lives. We have full calendars. We're trying to squeeze so many things into our daily schedule that sometimes we just don't take time to listen. We're in too big a hurry. Rush, 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 rush. So we feel like because of time constraints, we have to say what we need to say. And sometimes we almost say it as we're dashing out the door. Say it in passing as we're running past somebody in the office. We don't have time to stop and actually converse. We certainly don't have time to stop and listen. We've got to just bark out our thoughts as we chug along to our next appointment, which we're probably already late to. And so we don't ever develop good listening skills. That's one of the reasons. The second reason why being a good listener is difficult is because of the culture in which we live, a world that is filled with electronic media, and in that environment, talk is cheap. We hear people talking all the time, and a lot of times we hear several people talking at the same time without bothering to stop and listen to what the other person has to say. Have you ever had anyone come into your home and your television was on and running and you didn't bother to turn it off? You just let it continue to run and tried to carry on a conversation with them while the television was running. That doesn't work. Either show the person the door so you can watch your television program, or invite them to sit there and watch it with you and then wait till it's over and have the conversation, or turn the television off so that you can talk to a living person. Surely there is no television program that is more important than a good relationship with a real person. But what has this world come to? What kind of a world do we live in where we value make-believe people on television programs who are actors simply pretending to be somebody else, and we get all caught up in their lives and what they're doing, which isn't even a real life. It isn't a real home. It isn't a real job. It isn't a real situation. It's just people pretending to be these things and these people. They're just following a script. And we get all caught up in this make-believe world while we neglect the real world. We get all caught up with imaginary relationships, as if we have real relationships with these people, but of course we don't. And all the while neglecting real relationships with real people in our lives that really make a difference. What difference will it make in your life if you don't watch that television program? Well, it's my favorite program. Well, la-di-da, so what? How important is that in the light of the things that really count in life? And certainly, how important is that in the light of eternity? And I'm not saying that it's wrong to watch a television program. I watch television programs myself. I would be a hypocrite to say that it's wrong to watch a television program. But I'm just saying, when watching a television program becomes more important than having a good relationship with a living person, particularly your spouse or some other member of your family, but any person that comes into your home, something is terribly wrong. I tell you again, something is terribly wrong. We pretty much have an unspoken rule at our house that if we're watching television, and usually if we are, my wife and I, and that's all that's left in our house now, all of our four children are grown and gone, but if we're watching a television program, and when we do, we're usually doing something else at the same time. I hardly ever just sit and watch a television program. I'm usually reading something while I'm watching the program. You say, well, how can you concentrate? Well, I don't usually read something that's terribly important. If it is, I can't watch television. I'll have to turn off the television so I can give my full attention to what I'm reading. But read a Christian magazine, read a newspaper, read something that's fairly light that doesn't require my undivided attention. Or sometimes work on something. It's not uncommon at all that I'm working on something. Again, something that doesn't require my concentrated attention, but something that I can work on while sort of working on while I'm just sort of watching television, really in the background, kind of out of the corner of my eye. Whenever I'm working on something or even reading, I'm always giving more attention to that than I am to the television. But I can kind of do both, and that's just the way we do it, for good or for bad. That's the way we do it at our house. And my wife does the same thing. She'll be sitting there in the den working on something while we're half watching a television program, maybe not even half, unless it's a program we really enjoy and want to watch together, and there may be two like that. And they vary because they're not on all the time. Some weeks there's maybe no program that we really want to watch together. But here's what I was getting to. We kind of had an unspoken rule. I don't know that anybody's ever articulated this, but if one of us thinks of something they want to say to the other person, that television program goes off. That's what you have mute buttons for. We just click the mute button. It doesn't matter. So what if you miss some of the conversation? So what if you miss some of the dialogue? So what if you miss some of the script? So what if you miss something that's vitally important to understanding the program? So what? It's only a television program. If my wife has something to say to me, that's important. Television is not. Now that's the way I view it. If my wife has something to say to me, I'm going to listen. You say, has it always been that way? To my shame, I must say, it has not always been that way. That's something that I have learned to do. I have grown in that. I have developed that. I have the Spirit of God to thank for that, who has worked within me and who has been teaching me over the years to be swift to hear. And I think that's a good example of why it's put this way, swift to hear. If my wife speaks up and has something to say, then I jump on that remote and turn the television either completely off, bang, the screen goes dead, or the mute button goes on, and I give my full attention to what my wife is saying because that's important. Now, one reason it's important is because my wife has learned the second rule. Slow to speak. Become a thoughtful speaker. My wife is not a chatterbox. She's not a motor mouth. And if some of you wives are listening to this and saying, well, I wish my husband would listen to me the way that you listen to your wife, I wish he would too, and it may be a great fault of his that he does not, and I trust that he will learn to do that. And if he's a Christian, I earnestly trust that he will learn to do that, and surely think he shall by the working of the Spirit of God in his heart. But you need to realize that part of it depends upon you. You need to be sure that when you say something, it's important. If you are an incessant chatterbox, just spilling every trite, irrelevant thought that comes to your mind and saying things over and over and over just because you like to talk, just to hear yourself speak, don't be surprised if people don't pay a lot of attention to what you say. Your words don't mean anything. That's what slow to speak means. Become a thoughtful speaker, a wise speaker, sparing with your words. Words that are not counted, but rather are weighed. Not having your mouth just filled with words. Excessive chattering. Hasty and ill-conceived words. If that's what's spilling out of your mouth, don't be surprised if it's difficult for people to be good listeners because they have learned that all you do is just monopolize the conversation, monopolize everybody's time, and don't have anything worthwhile to say. The reason I rush to turn off the television when my wife speaks is because I have learned that when she speaks, it's important, and I don't want to miss a single word. I do not want to miss a single word. I want to hear what that dear lady has to say. I have learned the value of her words because she has learned the value of weighing her words. And I have learned by the Spirit of God to be swift to hear what my wife has to say because my wife has learned by the Spirit of God to make sure that what she says has substance to it. Oh, there's so much to learn. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.